Brethren, when we think about our great God and all that he provides us, there's so many things. I mean, we can just mention one item like armor, and there's so much involved there. Or the angels that God provides for us to protect us, or his Holy Spirit that he offers. But let's just focus for a moment on the Bible. You know, here a book filled with thousands and thousands of words that God has had it written down by prophets and apostles and transferred down through the ages and printed in our language, and we have it available. But my question with this is, even though we have the Bible in our homes, if we don't use it, what good is it? What kind of blessing is that really, even if we have it but we don't use it? So now if we look at that on a physical level, I'll just talk to the men for a minute. Let's say someone buys you a gift, your favorite power tool. And you go, wow, I've wanted one of these. But you take it and you stick it on the shelf in the garage and you don't use it. You know, you might blow the dust off it every so often. You might say, I'm so grateful to have that. But, you know, really, what good is it to have that tool if it's not going to be used? For the women, maybe your husband buys you a beautiful necklace, your favorite jewels, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. You adore it. You love it. But if you don't ever wear it, if it just sits in the jewelry box, you don't get it out, no one sees it, you know, a beautiful piece of jewelry on a beautiful lady. What good is it, you know, if it just sits there and doesn't get used? And I could relate to the kids as well, you know, a toy, your favorite toy, but if you have it and it gets put back in the closet, you don't ever get it out. I think we can all understand various things that are important to us, but if we don't put them to good use. And so as Christians, we've been given so much, so many blessings from God. And my question to you is, have you thought about the spiritual gifts that God has given to us as members of his church? You know, if I asked you to write down your spiritual gifts, you know, and you just had a piece of paper there like today and you started, would you be able to write down what you think God has given you? And if not, how do you properly share that gift? How do you develop it? How do you grow that gift if you don't know what it is, or if you don't focus on it and work it? Because a vital part of our calling is to not only appreciate the gifts that God has offered us, but to use them. My title today is Sharing Our Spiritual Gifts. So today, let's look at what the Bible says regarding the gifts that God so graciously shares with us. It's a privilege to receive gifts, especially spiritual gifts, but we must realize that there's a great responsibility with what God gives us. He wants us to apply it. He wants us to know that he's been gracious with us and offering that to us. So we have to consider what we do with them. And the Bible reveals the main purpose of why God provides us with gifts. We need to know that. So my first point is, spiritual gifts are given to benefit the church. Spiritual gifts are given to benefit the church. Brethren, God is not a respecter of persons. And our gifts are mainly directed towards the body of Christ. So when we think about this, these gifts are given to members. It's a privilege. It's an honor that we're giving these. But how do we know the difference between the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts? Because they aren't the same thing. They're both gifts, and they're both from God. But a spiritual gift, you could look at as an aptitude. It's the ability to do something. Whereas God's Spirit, the fruits of his Spirit, is more like an attitude. It's how we share that gift. It's the way in which we do it. So, for example, if serving is our spiritual gift, we need to combine the two, put them together. We combine the fruit to determine whether we serve with love, in a peaceable way, with self-control. So God is asking us to look at that and bring these together. And so both the fruits of the Spirit and our spiritual gifts should work together. It's very similar to when we read in the Bible about the Spirit in man, that God places that in every human being. But he also wants us to take his Spirit and combine that so that we control and work properly to grow and develop as human beings. Let's begin today in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. So when we look at the element of bearing fruit, and we know that God the Father and Jesus Christ invite us to do that, Here we see that they give us two elements that shouldn't be separated. So think about two elements on a physical level. If I gave all of you a couple of cookies, you go, oh, this is great. And later I gave you some milk, you go, that's great. But think about it. When you put milk and cookies together, it's so much better. Now, don't get hungry on me here. But so I'm just trying to show that the importance of these going together, that's what God wants for us. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So if we analyze this verse a little bit, it says so much. And brethren, we have to be zealous for what God has given us. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. Here it tells us that one of the main purpose for gifts is to edify. That word means to lift up. It means to build. It means to improve. And so we need to do that as church members. And this is an important part of our Christian walk. Now, God is not excluding our neighbors, our family members, the people we go to work with or school with. No, He wants us to be a light to them. He wants us to set a good example to everyone around us. But God's goal for us is to build His church. We're members of it, and He's asking us, and He gives these gifts for that purpose. And so it tells us in that verse that we just read here in verse 12 that we're to seek to excel. Haven't we all fallen short? Couldn't we do better? I mean, are we truly excelling in doing that, in being zealous and edifying others? And so there's a few other important facts about gifts that we can read in the Bible. Let's turn back to chapter 12 here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll look at verse 4. Brethren, when we look around, this isn't about pointing fingers at others regarding, oh, have they used their spiritual gifts? Oh, I don't know if that person back there has. No, this is about looking at ourselves and to ask, how am I doing in sharing what God has given to me? So 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities, or I should say differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So when we think about that, you know, the word diversity there just simply means differences or a variety. And the word ministry there means serving. That's what our job is to do. We're all to serve one another. And when it talks about activities, it's talking about the works that we have, that we do in life. Verse 7, the manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So as we think about that, this is not about making us look good, but we're to follow Jesus Christ so that the church runs smoothly. If we've ever gotten into a vehicle and when we really need to get going to pass somebody or get up a hill and it starts sputtering when we hit the gas, the engine isn't running smoothly, is it? And so if we apply that to our spiritual life, if we're not all working together here, as it says, for the profit of all, that is just like that engine. You can't count on it when you need it. And so God is asking us to work together well. That word manifestation, it means bestowment or expression. So God is saying He bestows spiritual gifts to each one. And we have to ask, do we recognize what our gift is? Do we take it to heart and think about it so we can apply it more? Because gifts are available. Spiritual gifts are available to each and every one of us. And we need to think about that. Now, the word profit just means advantage or good. So God is saying this is for the good of all. This is for the advantage of all. So we need to think about that as we study the scriptures and to consider whether we're growing in this area. Let's go back to verse 1 here in chapter 12. I should say, in chapter 1. No, I'm going to go 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Sorry about that. I wrote down chapter 1 there for a moment. So let's look at verse 1 here in chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I think all of us need to be better informed on this. That's what the word ignorant there means, misinformed. And Paul says, through God's inspiration, he doesn't want us to really not understand what he's wanting to give us and how we should use it. And so spiritual gifts are not to serve our own purpose. They're to help others. It's to grow the body of Christ. It's to develop the church. And that's a beautiful thing because we're all under Jesus Christ as the head of the church. Now let's go to Ephesians 4 as we look at a few more scriptures here to help us better understand a little bit about these gifts. You know, here a little, there a little. We'll put some of these together to have a better understanding of that. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. And as you're turning there, just consider, you know, in both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions spiritual gifts. And these are amazing things that God is willing to provide for us. And we know God is not limited. So what he offers us is not limited as well. We tend to limit ourselves. You think back about Samson. He was a normal man, but with God's spiritual gift, look at the strength he had, unlike any other man. Or look at the wisdom that Solomon had. You know, these are gifts that God can bestow on us. We might read those stories, but God is not limited in sharing that with us. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now let's skip down to verse 11. And it says, and he himself, so Christ himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. So we see the purpose here then, why Christ did this. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of serving, it's saying, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here's the first reason that God gives gifts. It's to prepare us for service. And a second reason is to build the body of Christ. So we have to stop and think about that. If we're truly a part of this body, if we want to follow the guidelines of the one who's leading us, we need to listen to these verses. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a perfect woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we read that, doesn't it make us think about how much more we have to develop and grow? How low we are compared to our Lord and Savior, who was perfect in every way? And yet God is asking us to attain that. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so instead of that mindset, we're told in verse 16, or I should say verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So quite the goal that we should have here, to look forward to that, to develop, to be more like him. And then verse 16 really wraps up a lot of thoughts here. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So if we stop there for a moment, God is considering each one of us a joint. If we had a physical human body, that we all make up that body. We are those joints. And here's what he says, according to the effective working by which every part, so that doesn't leave any of us out, every single one of us as a joint, as a part of the body, when every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's a lot in there. But brethren, as we stop and reflect on what Paul is sharing with us, we realize that we are all an integral part of this body, that God is inviting us to do our part, to work together, to have this unity and harmony so that we grow to the level that Christ would want us to his measure, to his stature. So we can ask, in what ways do we edify the church? In what way do you build it up? Because we all have a part, and we should ask that question. You know, do you help this congregation? What have you done over the last year to really show that you are a part that does its share so there is this growth? And we all need to reflect on that. Our gifts are to be shared using the fruit of God's Spirit. That's one of the reasons why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, so isn't that amazing, and understand all mysteries, Well, we don't have that, but wouldn't that be amazing as well? And all faith to move mountains. So you see, he's building up amazing things. But then he says, if we don't have love, I'm nothing. And so these other things he mentions are wonderful, but without that love, without that, plus all the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, we really aren't going to develop in the way that he desires. Brethren, God is willing to do amazing work through us. But really, the question is, will we allow him? Will we allow God to do the molding and shaping that he desires to do in each one of us so that we do achieve our full potential? And so, under this first point, our spiritual gifts are given to benefit the church. And we could go into that with so much more detail, but let's go on to a second point. Point number two, identify your spiritual gifts. Brethren, that means we need to recognize them. We need to think about that and analyze how we're doing and the way we walk in life so that we can see if we know what God has given us. We're told to make our calling and election sure, and part of this is to discover what God has given us. You know, if we're really elected by God, if we're called by God, it would motivate us to find this out so that we can use it properly. How can we adequately use something if we don't know we have it? So if one of you was gifted with encouragement, and yet you never encouraged anyone, you know, that's not going to help you grow, and that's not going to help all those individuals that you could reach out and touch their life. Let's turn next to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Here we'll notice who Peter is writing to. And brethren, as you're turning there, how often do we hear somebody talking about their spiritual gifts? I don't hear it very often. And if I do hear someone, they're usually saying, well, I'm not sure what my gift is. And that may be an honest answer. They truly may not. But God invites us to know and appreciate the gifts he gives us. So in order to appreciate it, we do have to recognize it. We do have to know it. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. So Peter is talking to the church which has been scattered from the 10 tribes, you know, the members out there that God has called. He's talking to us today. He's talking to all of us right here today, each one of us. And so this book is written to church members, and he's inviting us to grow. That's what God is wanting all of us to do, to grow, to get ready for the kingdom of God. So let's stay here, and with that background, let's go to chapter 4 here in 1 Peter and verse 10. As we continue with the idea of the gifts and what we can learn from God's scriptures, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Peter writes, as each one, so brethren, that includes us, each one of us, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So this verse informs us of several things. Each of us have been given one or more gifts. So you might be able to label the one that you're good at. If you have a strong personality, maybe it's being friendly to people, greeting people. It might be in serving. It might be in leadership. There's so many different gifts that God gives. So we have that. So whether we're men or women, whether we're children, we should look at what we could use to edify the church, to build it up. Have you made the effort to discern whether you are sharing your gift? That's an important thing we need to answer. Well, let's look closer at a few words here in verse 10, which we just read. So from Strong's Dictionary, the word gift is the word charisma in the Greek, and it means a divine gratuity. In other words, this is something that God has graciously given us. It means specifically a spiritual endowment or a free gift. Brethren, do we think about that? That God has given us something, and as children, we can almost ignore how great it is what God is doing for us, and show disrespect by, one, not recognizing it, and two, not using it. Now, when we think about the past miracles in the Bible, the raining down of manna for 40 years in the wilderness. What an awesome blessing that was. Or the water that came from the rock to give the children of Israel, you know, something to drink, or their animals. And we can say, wow, those are amazing gifts. And yet our calling is just as amazing. And our gifts, our spiritual gifts, are just as great as those miracles that we read about. And at times we don't think of it in that way. Now, with what Peter said there in chapter or verse 10, the word minister there, that he said, you know, minister that gift to one another. In other words, that word in the Greek is diakoneo, and it means to be an attendant. That is, to wait upon someone menially as a host or a friend, or technically to ask or to act as a Christian deacon. In other words, it simply means to serve, to minister. You know, sometimes we hear the word minister and we think of a person serving in that category, but the word just means serve. So let me read verse 10 now from a different translation, the International Standard Version. It says this: as good servants, managers of God's grace in its various forms, serve one another with the gift each of you has received. So I ask, how are we going to share our spiritual gifts if we don't think about them, if we don't identify what it is God has shared with us? Now, staying in 1 Peter 4, let's read a few verses here, continuing in verse 7. Going back to verse 7, since we were in verse 10. So 1 Peter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And so the goal here then is to manage our gifts well so that God's love can flow through us. We know that God is love. And if we allow his love to flow and to be in us, then as Peter was writing here, that we can love people and be hospitable and not grumble. And so he's inviting us to act this way. So let me just give an example quickly that, you know, just like gifts, you know, think about if there was a buried treasure within a block of here, a treasure of great, you know, wealth, and that it was going to be shared with all of us. Each one of us would get some of that treasure, and then we could share it with others. And so if you went and told someone about it, they go, well, what are you going to give me? And you go, well, I don't know. Or how much is it going to be? Well, I'm not sure. So the idea is we'd want to identify the type of treasure. We'd want to go dig it up first. If our goal was to share it, we'd want to do that so we could tell people what we're going to share and how much we'll give of it. So God is asking us to do the same thing with our spiritual gifts. He said, I want you to identify that so that you can use it properly. And sometimes we don't do that. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, brethren, as we think about that, for some it's difficult to perceive what gift they have. They can't tell. And so I'm inviting all of us, myself included, to look at this topic a little bit deeper, to think about it, find out what it is, test it, try it, use it, so that we are growing in that way. And as God's children, we have the opportunity to go to him and ask for his help. So that's our first course of action if we're not sure. Let me just refer to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. We won't turn there, but let me read this to you. It says, or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So God is inviting us as children to communicate, to reach out to him, and to ask for his help in a number of ways. And as parents, we've given gifts to our kids when they ask, like, hey, dad, mom, I've really wanted this. I have a little bit saved towards it. Can you buy the rest? You know, and we've done that. And God is saying he's willing to listen to our request as well. And once again, we have to remember, our gift is to benefit the church. And we have to think about that. So let's improve in identifying our spiritual gifts. Let's go on to a third point. Point number three, God has a specific plan for you. He has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And we know that God has to call an individual before they begin to understand the truth. He opens our minds. It's all according to His will. And so His plan is so intricate, so deep, at times we don't think about that. But have you considered that God is inviting you for a specific purpose within this various body, this congregation, I should say, that He has invited each one of us for a purpose to make things work? The scriptures reveal that it's not accidental that we are here, nor the gifts that we have. God is very detailed in working that out. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at a little more on this topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. While you're turning there, let me read what it says in Jeremiah 29 regarding how God is very detailed and He works things out for each one of us. So you can continue to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 verse 18, but here's what Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." So each one of us should take that to heart. God is speaking to us. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So, brethren, God doesn't randomly offer gifts. He has a plan for each one of us. He can make it so our gifts all fit together and we can work together as a finely tuned machine or an engine or whatever it might be that God says as a body, even our human bodies, we want it to work together. I think we can understand. And so God has this vision for us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, it says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body just as He pleased." Once again, we are not here by accident. God has selected, as we know, the weak of the world, but we're here to learn and grow, to help and serve down the road, but also to learn now in preparation for that. Brethren, God has selected us to be here, getting us ready to join the family of God. So we're in training now, and we have so much to learn. That's why we have to be careful that we don't let down, in a sense, in our homework of preparing, just like if we were in college. We have to really do well and press ahead to learn all the things that God wants us to understand for joining His kingdom. And our spiritual gifts are endowed so we can learn to work together as a team, as a family. It's sort of like a clock. You know, you think about all the fine parts in a clock. If you take a big grandfather clock, whatever type, it has all these parts to it. But unless they're working together, as we are as a church, as a body, it doesn't really work properly. The clock won't work properly if you take out one of the gears or something else is broken down. And so let's remember that it doesn't matter what position we have within the church. It doesn't matter when we've been called. Once God does that, He says, "I can work all the rest to bring you together to work as a family." And so let me just read this verse again with that in mind. "But now God has set the members, each one of them," or I could say each one of you, each one of all of us, "each one of us in the body just as He pleased." So what a precious thing that is. And so this concept can be broken down for us. Let's read a little more, going back to verse 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Brethren, we all have the potential to become the children of God. What a wonderful thought that is. But we don't have the same gifts. And we have to make sure that we don't compare ourselves among ourselves in that way. Like, oh, I wanted that gift. No, God discerns what gift to give each one of us. Of course, we can ask, but hopefully it's according to His will. And so God decides. That doesn't mean we receive everything we ask for. And so some of you are great listeners. Some of you are excellent teachers. Some of you can organize way more than others. And we could list thing after thing. Some of you give so much. And these are all positive things. And we have to look at what our strengths are, what God naturally gives us, and allow His Spirit to help us in that. Let's turn to Romans 12 and verse 4. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. You know, it's interesting when we think about a family structure that we all come from, and when we apply it to church, a church group, how we're a family and we're to work together. Let's notice what Paul writes here, very similar to what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're in Romans 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. At times, there's individuals who say, well, I want that function, you know, but they're good at this one they're doing, but they want that one, or it can do that. And God's saying, no, you can't all do the same thing. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So just like your physical body, it all has to work together or there's a lack of harmony. You know, similar to all of us, if our body, our physical body has a bad back, and we're struggling to just bend over or lift anything, you know, we know how that affects the entire body, every part of it. Well, in the same way, just the church, if there's something that isn't working in harmony with the rest of the members, it doesn't grow as much. It doesn't build up. It doesn't edify. And so God has set each one of us in the body, and it's a learning process of how we prepare for the kingdom of God. So it's important for us to all work together. Here we're told we're members of one another, so that we can edify, so that we can build up. Let's look at one last point. Continue to develop your spiritual gifts. Continue to develop your spiritual gifts. And we can ask, why are these points so important? Brethren, because sharing our spiritual gifts can help others. And as we read earlier, it can bring glory to God, because we're all His children. When we do something to someone else, that is God's child, and therefore bringing glory to Him. And God's plan for us is that we use our time to prepare, to live up to the calling that we've been given. And we're here to be encouraged week after week to look at the scriptures, to think about it, to realize how we need to work together and to pray for one another, help one another. So think about whether you cause growth in this church, because it's fairly easy just to show up each week. But if we just walk in here and we never do anything to serve, to help, now we're limited by age, by health. So all those considerations have to be taken in and thought about. But God is asking us to do our share. So are we willing to adapt to the needs that are there in each congregation? If we go to another congregation, very likely there's going to be different needs based on the size, based on the age group, and we have to be willing to be flexible. You know, if you come into this hall and somebody's sick and there's no cleanup that time, you know, are we willing to pitch in and take out the trash? We can say, well, that's maybe beneath us, but still needs to be done. You know, if you're teaching your kids in your own house, a lot of times we start with them taking out a little trash can. You know, just learning how to be a part of the family because it needs to be done. So there's these things as spiritual family we're learning. Are we willing to search for ways to serve? Because it's not easy. It means giving of ourselves. It takes away from our own time, our own desires, but God is teaching us this way of love. Let's go to Romans 12, and we'll look here in verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I don't think it could become any clearer how important it is that God wants us to think about that. And so some have a gift for stepping up when they see a need, and that's a great gift, whether you visit someone, whether you call someone, even the elderly. I mean, they can call someone. They can definitely pray for someone. So we all have things we can serve with. But notice it has, we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So differing means that we don't all have the same talents, the same skills, the same gifts, as it says here. And if you're not sure, we need to test it. Because not everyone can get up here and sing. Not everyone can play the piano. Not everyone can lift items if we had to move some things. And so there's all these items we have to consider, that God has given us different gifts and abilities so that we can work together as a team. And so we need to test that out. And it's vital to develop the spiritual endowment that our loving Father has given to us. So we have to test that. And it takes time. Some people I've heard, they said, I've tried this, but it didn't seem to work. So they tried something else. And so sometimes it's not clear. And that's not a bad thing. We just have to keep working towards it. Let me share what Adam Clark's commentary says here about verse 6. As the goodness of God has endowed us with different gifts and qualifications, let each apply himself to the diligent improvement of his particular office and talent, and modestly keep within the bounds of it, not exalting himself or despising others. So there's this approach that God would want us to have with humility and yet serving in a way that's helpful, that benefits all, as we've read. And so we should improve. We should practice. We should, as it says here, use them. God doesn't want us to stop that at any age. And so God inspired Paul to write this. Once again, we're in training for the kingdom of God. We all believe that. We know it's coming. We've waited, well, many of you, your whole life for this. If you were born into the church or been in the church 4 and 5 decades, we know it's coming. But God is still, while we have life, an opportunity, God is saying, keep preparing, keep getting ready for that. And we know how meticulous God is, how detailed. And so what if the gift he's given us now and that he's allowing us to prepare for is something we'll use in the kingdom to work together as a huge family, billions and billions in his family of spiritual sons and daughters. And this gift, if we don't develop it now, we won't be ready to join and work together in the way he's got everything so meticulously lined up. So we have to think there's a bigger scale here because God thinks things out deeper than we can ever imagine. So if we read here in verse 6, continuing, it says, let us use them, which we need to really think about that. Are you using what you've been given? Then it says, if it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, I'd like to comment on that. Let me first of all read what Adam Clark states about that word, prophecy. He says, in the New Testament, prophecy often means the gift of exhorting or expounding the scriptures. So we know prophecy can mean predicting the future. But according to this and according to our beliefs, you know, it can also mean inspired speaking. And so in some ways, we've all prophesied in that sense. So a lot of people would say, well, prophecy isn't my gift. But consider when you explain the doctrines to someone, when you expound the scriptures to your children, to somebody that walks in off the street and says, oh, what do you believe here? That can be a form of prophecy. So there's more than one meaning there. And it's important for us to think about that. If you hold your place here in Romans 12, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14 again. Because the scriptures do show that the word prophecy can include this teaching from the Bible as an additional meaning to that word. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. It says here, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So as we look at this a little deeper here then, of course, pursuing love in the previous chapter, that was the love chapter we referred to. And here we're to desire spiritual gifts. So do we desire them? Have we looked deeply so that we know what we have? And so a lot of us have thought about this maybe, but we can't still tell what happens tomorrow, can we? Like, not that type of prophecy. I can't tell you how tomorrow's going to unfold. But the Bible shows that it can have a broader meaning. Let's go down to verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So look at these items. It shows that prophecy is more than just predicting the future. It includes these three items. And so let's break these down a little bit. The Greek word here for prophecies means, once again, to foretell events, but also to speak under inspiration. So keeping that in mind, let's look at the three words mentioned here in verse 3. One is edify. The word edify means to instruct or to improve someone morally or intellectually. So basically, we're lifting up someone through the scriptures. And if you think about synonyms for that word, it means to educate, to instruct, to teach, to train, to guide, to inform. So that's what God is showing here. And so when we teach a point from the Bible, it can refer to speaking under the inspiration as a gift from God to help better expound the scriptures. The second word there in verse 3, exhort, meaning to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. So, in a sense, everyone that gets up here to speak does that. Or you as a parent, you exhort your children, you urge them to live a certain way of life for their own good. So we can do that. And so parents, it's interesting to think that in one sense, with that inspired speaking, you can be helping your children to see about the future, how to live life, how to prepare for it. And the third word here, comfort, that means to ease or alleviate the grief or distress of someone. And synonyms for that word mean to console, to have sympathy, to support, give reassurance, or to cheer. So these are the kinds of things that God wants us to do, whether speaking from here, whether joined in a group talking to one another, whether raising our children, talking to, you know, those around us. God is asking us to use these. And so as we console a member who lost a loved one and we reassure them of the resurrection, it can be a form of inspired speaking, or as the Bible says, it calls it prophecy. So there's more than one way to look at that. Now let me read verse 3 again from God's Word translation. It says this, "But when a person speaks what God has revealed, he speaks to people to help them grow, to encourage them, and to comfort them." So when we read it from that other translation, it really helps us to see that even prophecy, even though we might say, I've never done that, but in a different way, God is saying, no, you can do that in an inspired speaking way. Now let's go back to Romans 12 as we begin to wrap up here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Because here it lists just a couple items, and there's so many more that are gifts. But let's look here in Romans 12, verse 7 and 8, about some of these gifts that God does give us. Beginning in verse 7, it says, or ministry. So here's another gift. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here's six additional spiritual gifts that are listed besides the prophecy one. And brethren, when we think about ministry once again, just remember this is a type of service, which we're all doing. We're told to serve one another, just as Jesus Christ served us. And so in the coming weeks, consider if you're developing your spiritual gifts. You know, there's more than these, but look for ways to serve within the congregation. Look for ways to build up the body of Christ. And when God asks us to do something, he will give us the gifts to accomplish that job. Now, if you think back in the Old Testament, remember God told Moses, go to Pharaoh, help lead my people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And remember Moses' excuse, like, oh, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent with my tongue. And so it says God was displeased with him. In other words, you know what God's answer was to him? Have I not made your mouth? In other words, I can give you anything. I can bless you with this in ways you cannot imagine. And we all have to remember that. That we, when God asks us to do something, he will give us the abilities we need to fulfill that. So consider that even if you're not good at something, could it still be a gift? God said never that our gifts would never be make us perfect in them. Like if he gave you the gift of giving, but you can still develop that. You can still grow it. There's ways to improve it. And so, yes, our gift can even be mediocre if it builds up the church. As we all learn, as we are filled with God's Spirit and use that, we can all be developing to a higher level. Now, there's many service needs in the church. I mean, talk about encouragement. We all need that, don't we? To have those words that lift us up. Or listening. You know, a lot of people aren't good listeners. And we have to stop and think, do we hear what the person is saying? It kind of starts at home. If you don't listen to your kids, if you don't listen to your mate, you really aren't working together as a family. So as a spiritual family, we really do need to stop and reflect on what people are saying, what they're trying to communicate. And once again, we may not be perfect at that, but God is saying we can do better at it. And with his Spirit, we continue to grow as we march towards the kingdom. Now, if we tie all these abilities in with what God gives us, and we think about the parable of the talents, One of those individuals buried their talent and the others developed it. So we can look at that, reflect on that, and consider, have we buried anything or are we growing in that? So consider, in the coming time, as we march forward, to look at your life and the ways that you can benefit the church, the way that you can help be a part of the body, as it said there back there in Ephesians 4, that if we all do our share, it causes growth. And I think every congregation in our church could grow. I know this one can. So we can't make everyone else do that, but we can start with ourselves and say, how can I do better to make it so we're more of a family? We're working together. Brethren, we have to make sure that we don't bury our talent, that we don't hide it, that we think, oh, we can just walk in here. And it's not just about here. It's all throughout the week, the ways we serve as well. But we see each other here, and kind of our mind goes to that, that we can serve at church, but we can also serve when we show up tomorrow to help clean up or whatever it is, as we call a widow during the week and as we go visit someone and taking them some food, whatever it might be. So brethren, in conclusion, scripture shows that spiritual gifts are given to each one of us. It's up to us to figure out what those are. And we're encouraged to use them. Have we done that? We're told that it's for the profit of all, for the good of all. Are we using them in a way that it is good for everyone? So we need to examine this area, because we can neglect it. We can make excuses for it. We can bury them, our gifts that God gives us. And so God has called us to grow, to really think about the way we live life each day. And we know our days are numbered, so we have to use our time wisely and to make sure that we are developing. And so as we thank God for the many things that he supplies to us, we need to remember a few things. One, thank God for your spiritual gifts. Two, ask for help to identify those gifts. Also, look for ways to benefit the body of Christ. Another is share your gifts with love and humility, as we read earlier today. Because to have that gift of serving, but if you don't do it in the right way, God will not see that as benefiting the body of believers. So why use the wonderful gift that God has offered to us? As we said in the scriptures, just remember, when we do these things properly, it's to give God glory. As his children, God is inviting us to learn how to walk in life, how to show love, but to give glory to God, which he truly is worthy of. So let's think about this topic. It can be developed so much more, but to consider how we can show our appreciation to God for all he has done. Not only the Bible, not only the Holy Spirit, not only the armor of God, but the spiritual gifts that he's willing to give each one of us so that we can better serve one another.